Joshua chapter 17 and verse 14, where the Bible reads here, "And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of the of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountains shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." And the title of my sermon this morning is Lessons from Compton. Lessons from Compton. Now, what a great work that was done yesterday in the city of Compton. And one of the reasons I was really excited about going soul winning there and having a group go there. And by the way, if there's families coming in, men, if you can give up your seats, all right, for the ladies or for their children, that would be great. Now, one of the reasons I was excited about Compton is because I lived in the city of Long Beach, which was a city that's right next to neighbors Compton. And to be quite honest with you, I've never heard of a church. I've never heard of an independent fundamental Baptist church who has made the effort to go out and actually preach the gospel in Compton.
Right.
Why is that? Well, because Compton has always had a bad reputation. NWA, yeah, right. Dr. Dre, Bloods and Crips, and all these, you know, things that take place in that city. And by the way, at one point, it was pretty bad. All right? During the 90s, they would say, don't drive through there. If you drive through there, they're going to pull you out of your car. You know, you get robbed and all these things. And they were telling the truth. But you know what? It's not like that anymore. And the fact is that any church that says, yeah, you shouldn't go there because, you know, it's not wise to drive down to Compton and try to send a group out there. It's not wise. You don't have any discernment if you do that. You know, they're just a bunch of lazy churches who are fearful and are not trusting in the Lord.
That's right.
You know, it's our responsibility to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't matter what city they're in. Okay? Now, one of our members said this. He's like, yeah, Compton's not that bad. We need to go to Inglewood. Inglewood is the new Compton. All right? Well, we're going to go to Inglewood too. And look, why should we be afraid of going to a city like Inglewood or a city like Compton if we're Christians?
Yeah.
If we're Baptists, yeah, we have the gospel. Don't you think that God can protect us from these things?
Amen.
And look, I guarantee you the majority of the murders that you've heard about in Compton were not soul winners.
Amen.
All right? So it's just not, if you looked at it, it's like, oh yeah, this soul winner died for preaching the gospel. I guarantee you that's not going to happen.
Amen.
But I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about what took place because it just goes to show what happens when God's people take God's commandments seriously. They go out and do the great work and see a bunch of people saved. It's awesome. One of the stories that when we're preaching the gospel, and we didn't even get to finish our block, and so many different, I'm sure a bunch of people could come up here and give stories and testimonies of people who got saved and very touching testimonies. One of them that I got to experience, I got to lead a man to the Lord, and he was a deacon in his church, okay? And so he in a Baptist church. So he gets saved, and he literally said this. He said, man, you know, I was born and raised here. My family has been here since the 1930s. He goes, no one's ever come out here to do what you guys are doing. And he said, thank you for doing that. You know what that means? That means there's been a bunch of Bloods and Crips who have died and have gone to hell. Year after year, decade after decade. Why? Because no independent, fundamental, soul-winning Baptist churches were willing to go out there and give them the gospel.
Right.
And look, not every blood and crip is a reprobate. Let's just let you know that right off the bat. That's just the environment they grew up in. That's what they know, you know, and that's just the life they live. But they want to get saved,
amen,
you know, if you give them the gospel. And so what a great work that was done there. And that's not the last time we're going to go there.
Amen. Amen.
You know, when we planned to do it, I said, man, I hope it turns out well. If it does, we're going to keep going back there every week.
Yep.
You know, and it's not even that bad. So let me give you a couple lessons here from this story that we can apply just to soul winning in general, but just with the experience of the Compton Soul Winning Marathon in mind. You see this story here, and what is Joseph, the tribe of Joseph, Manasseh doing? They're complaining. You know, they're like, man, we want this other land too, and all these things. And Joshua comes up and is like, look, you guys are a great people. Go do it. You know, go take the land. And if you read earlier in the chapter, you see that they had 10 cities. They had all types of possessions, but yet they felt they could not overcome this possession right here. You know, they felt like they could have come. They're like, well, they have iron chariots over there. You know, they got guns and they got Crips and Bloods over there. They got all kinds of gangs and all kinds of bad news that takes place over there. But you know what? Though they have chariots of iron, we can overcome that.
Amen.
We can possess that land. Okay? Now, look at Joshua chapter 17 and verse number 5. I'm going to give you a couple points here. First and foremost, let me say this, is that God has a lot prepared for his people. Now, I don't mean a lot as in abundance, though that's part of it. I'm talking about a portion. Okay, a possession prepared for his people. And in fact, look what the Bible says in Joshua 17, verse 5. And there fell 10 portions to Manasseh beside the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side of Jordan. And so go to Joshua chapter 18. And we see this throughout the Old Testament as God is promising to give a land, a possession to his people. He's like, look, this land is yours. It's yours for the taking. It's just really up to you whether you want to go up and take it. It's really up to you if you want to go up and fight those battles, you know, obey the commandments of the Lord to go out and fight the enemies of the Lord. But guess what? It's yours. It's your portion. You know what? I get sick and tired. I get fed up with hearing about Christians who want to have these strong victories. They want to be a part of these great battles, but they don't want the process that comes with it.
Right.
You know, they want to have the great numbers and the great exploits, but they don't want the process that goes along with it.
Right.
So what do? They have an artificial type of process, right? Bus ministry, track drops,
right.
You know, door hangers. And look, I'm speaking from experience because I come from a church that did that day in and day out, week in and week out, year in, year out.
Right.
And look, they would 10,000, 15,000 tracks, a track drop. But you know what? It's all in vain.
Right.
It's an artificial process that makes you think you're doing something for God, but you're not. And they want to make themselves out to be these great organizations and great churches that are doing a great work by passing out 20,000 invites. That doesn't do anything.
Amen.
You know, the real work comes when you actually get out there, open your mouth boldly, make known the mysteries of the gospel.
Amen.
The real work comes when you actually pray God that he fills you with the Spirit and go out there and preach the gospel and see people saved.
Amen.
Now look at Joshua 18, verse 3. But what's the problem here? Look at verse 3. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go possess the land which the Lord of your God of your fathers hath given you? You see, God has already prepared it. God has already given the land to them. They're just slack. What is that? They're being lazy. They're lagging it, is what they're doing. Okay? And look, I want to make sure that Faith Forward Baptist Church of El Monte is not lazy, slack, and taking over the cities that surround us right
Amen.
Here. Los Angeles is a very needy area. There's a lot of lost people here that are open to the gospel. Yeah, you have Hollywood and the homos there and the reprobates or whatnot. We're not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Amen.
But you know the rest of the cities?
Yep.
There's people out here who want to hear the truth.
Amen.
We don't want to be slack. You know what? The Lord is not slack concerning his promises,
right,
as some men would count for slackness. But he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
So we as God's people ought not to be slack either.
Amen.
Okay? And look, we're a small church. But you know what? A lot is being done with just a little. And it's typically God using the small little remnants to do a great work.
Amen.
You know? So we should never think, well, you know, that mega church down the street or these churches that have, you know, run 1,000, 2,000, the Paul Chapels and the Lancasters and the North Valleys and how they have thousands of people. Yeah, but they're not doing anything.
Amen.
They're not getting anything done.
Nope.
So why don't we just go ahead and pick up the torch and just say, hey, don't worry, I'll do it for you.
Amen.
We'll go ahead and take over California, along with Pastor Jimenez and everyone else who's going to come up. Brother Chad Morgan is going to start a church next year.
Amen.
Let's take it up. But look, you know what? We can't be slack
Amen.
Concerning it. And let me say this. In a battle like this, don't just be a spectator. Be a participant. Especially if you're part of our church. You don't want to just be a spectator and just enjoy the YouTube, you know, videos and say, yeah, I'm part of that church. No, no, no. You need to be a part of the church.
Amen.
And a part of what the church is doing.
Yep.
Like, oh, yeah, that's my church. Yeah, but are you a part of the work that's going on in that church? You know, are you doing the soul winning that's going on in the church? You know, it ought to be that every single one of us want to be a participant, not just a spectator. Spectators don't get anything.
Amen.
Participants do. Okay? We need to make sure that, and look, soul winning, obviously, everything's important. Okay? We're not trying to say that soul winning is the most important in a sense because, you know, there's other things that God puts in priority as well.
Amen.
But it should be at the top of the list of a lot of priorities that we have.
Yep.
Okay? And look, we only get so much time to do a great work for the Lord.
Amen.
Take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Take advantage of the fact that this opportunity comes up and the future opportunities as well to say, this is my chance, this is my opportunity. How do you know God's not going to shelve you for not doing something?
Right.
You know, God says, you know what? I've given you everything you needed and you're still just like throwing it away. I'm just going to go ahead and take you home and shelve you because you don't seem to be appreciating what's going on here.
Right.
Yeah, that could happen. Yeah. I don't want God to look down at me and say that. I want to make sure that I take full advantage of the opportunities that God has given to us in our church.
Amen.
Don't be slack. Go to Psalm 17. Excuse me, go to Luke 12. I'll read to you from Psalm 17. But God has given us a portion, okay? God's given his people a portion. And yeah, there's churches out there that are saved. God's given them a portion as well.
Amen.
There's an opportunity for them to do great works as well. But you know what? Are they taking advantage of that opportunity? The Bible says in Psalm 17, verse 4, for men which are thy hand, O Lord, for men of the world which have their portion in this life. You know, we ought not to seek the portion of this life.
Amen.
You know, the goods that this life can offer and the riches and the possessions and all the material wealth that this life can offer us. That ought not to be our goal to want to have.
Amen.
You know, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We think of that when it comes to unsaved people, but you know what? We can lose a lot as well. We can sit at the judgment seat of Christ and be saved, yet so as by fire, because everything just burns. Why? Because we're striving to have our portion in this world. You know, the portion we ought to desire is the portion that comes when God, when we do the work of God and we get those eternal rewards. Look at Luke 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath, the Bible says. You know what the Bible's telling us? Is that we ought to have an eternal mindset.
Amen.
Right? We ought to seek the portions that we're going to get from the Lord, the spiritual portions. You know, seek those things which are above, not the things which are on this earth. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. The portions of this world, they're important in a sense to basically maintain us so we can keep doing the work of God. But that ought not to be our primary focus. You know, our primary focus ought to be the portion that we're going to receive in the life to come.
Amen.
And a lot of churches have gone off of that road. And they're starting to focus on the big, nice buildings.
Right.
You know, how many buses that can accumulate in their driveway. You know, how many fountains and LCD screens or whatever they can have in their churches, and how many pianos they can accumulate, you know, ivory white pianos they can accumulate on their platform and all these things. Those aren't important.
Amen.
What good is it if you have all those things but you're not winning anybody to Christ?
Right.
You're not doing a great work for the Lord. And look, some of these churches, they might have soul winners, but you know what? Because the pastor is dying spiritually when it comes to this matter of having a vision for souls, guess what? The followers who follow him are the same.
Yep.
They grow lax, lazy, lukewarm, cold, and they don't have a desire for the things of God. That's why in churches all across America, you have people on their phones,
yep,
checking the scores,
come on,
you know, the World Cup. I don't even know who won the World Cup. Is the World Cup even still going on?
Matter.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter. But you know what? In many churches, it does.
Yeah.
It's probably more important than the preaching of God's word.
Right.
More important than souls. You know, they slip out early during their invitation time, right?
Yeah.
So they can get to their cars and get home and go watch the soccer game. Okay? No, you know what? You know what we're doing after church? We're going soul winning.
Amen.
We want to make sure that we're maintaining good works for the Lord. Okay?
Right.
And so we can inherit that portion. That's the portion we want.
Amen.
You know? And Lord willing, this next generation that's rising up of churches will primarily focus on that portion, okay? Not on the portion of this world, but the portion that's of the world to come. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 9 and 10, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. We don't have to work to be saved. But then it says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, the Bible says. So the Bible does tell us that afterwards, we should get to work.
Amen.
And I'm thankful, man, yesterday, a lot of work got done.
Amen. Right.
People are out there, ladies with their strollers and their babies, and, you know, the people from Tempe, this weather was like nothing to them. For us, it's just like, I'm dying out here. And they're like, well, it's so cold. I'm like, you guys are crazy. Someone told me that, like, we went to the beach, but man, it was cold over there. I'm like, cold? What in the world? This is summer. This is hot for us. But you know what? People are out there and they're doing the work.
Amen.
Okay? Getting the job done. And see, this type of leadership and this type of church is what's needed because everything's evenly spread as far as the work is concerned.
Yep.
It's not like the pastor is the most important person and he's the only one soul winning or the deacon or whatever. No, everyone's doing the work.
Amen.
Everyone's a part of what's going on. Everyone can have a piece of the pie. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Ain't that sad? There's all kinds of people out there that they're saved, but you know what? Their eyes aren't seeing what God can do.
Yeah.
Their ears aren't hearing the great sermons, the biblical sermons. You know, it's not entering into their heart the things which God has prepared for them, that portion, that lot. But look what it goes on to say, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Of course, primarily, let's talk about the Word of God.
Amen.
Right? Being taught the Word of God. But we can apply it to even something like this. Where it's like, you know what? But His Spirit can reveal it unto us. Why? Because we ask Him to be to fill us, to give us boldness, to go out there and see people saved. You know, I'm sure there's new soul winners that come out, and when they see someone saved for the first time, it's like, wow, this actually does work. It's like, I can't believe this person just like got saved. You know, when I went to Compton yesterday, and I was with my partner, I ran into this guy wearing all red. I don't know why. Well, what's that? You guys know what that's all about? He's wearing just all red. And, you know, immediately, what do you think? This guy's not going to want to listen. You know, I'd rather just go talk to like a teenager or something. And I said, hey, I want to give you this invite. but more important than that, are you 100% sure if you die today, you go to heaven? He's like, I don't know. I said, can I take about 10 minutes to show you from the Bible? He said, yeah. And he just stood there. And by the way, his friend came and kind of disrupted a little bit. His friend actually ended up being from Arizona. He was like on his way back to Arizona, Phoenix. You know, so I just waited there. They finished talking, and then I talked to him, gave him the gospel. He got saved. His name is Aaron.
Amen.
And then when I left that conversation, I was like, man, shame on me for even having that thought that potentially he wouldn't want to listen because he's wearing all red. You know, red and blue, black or brown, they're all precious in that town, right? They want to listen. He got saved. He was very thankful. The guy that I mentioned before, I remember when after he told us, you know, we haven't had anybody come out, he had the most grateful spirit. He said, thank you so much for coming out here. You made my day, he said.
Amen.
That touches the heart. And that goes to show us that we ought not to judge anybody and say, oh, you know, that's the CPT. You know, we're going to send the bus ministry over there to go gather the kids there and give them candy and stuff. Don't even get them saved as long as we fill up the buses.
Wow.
That's wicked.
Amen.
You know, there's people out there dying in, year out, and they don't have one gospel preacher to go over there and give them the gospel. We'll take that portion.
Amen.
You know? But you know what? Thankfully, we get to see with our eyes. We get to hear with our ears and see with our hearts the things that God has prepared for us. Go back to Joshua chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17. So God has a great work prepared for us, a great reward. And I'm thankful that he entices us with that. You know, he shows us and he says, hey, this is waiting for you. Come and take it. You know, he doesn't just hand it to us. We got to put in the work, but it's promised that if we put in the work, we'll get it.
Amen.
The Bible says in Joshua 17, verse 15, and Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Skip down to verse 17. It says there, and Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only. You know, often we see that the people who do the least amount for the Lord are the ones who basically God is the least in their eyes.
Right.
They don't think they have a big God to do it. But you know what God is saying here? Hey, you are a great people.
Amen.
With great power. Why? Because we have a great God.
Amen.
Who can do great things, okay? And look, that's why I like the style of our churches. They're minimalist churches.
Amen.
Because we don't have a whole bunch of ministries.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We don't have a Sunday school and RU ministry and, you know, bus ministry and all these different ministries that spreads everyone thin. No, we have one ministry.
Amen.
It's called the Ministry of Reconciliation.
Amen.
All right? And everyone can be a part of it. You don't have to sign a covenant to be a part of that one, okay? You could be a part, all God's people could be a part of it. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt with by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Obviously, that's referring to the end times, but that's something we could apply today. I mean, can't you say that we saw a great exploit done yesterday? Amen. A great work? "And they that understand among the people shall instruct many," you know, teach all nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame, by the captivity and by spoil many days." Go to Joshua chapter number 1, please. So look, the portion is there. The lot is there. Amen. Don't be like Joseph. Don't be like Manasseh. It's just like, oh, you know, it's just too hard. They got chariots of iron over there. You know, it's too ghetto over there. You know, it's just not nice. Look, if you go to this church, you know what ghetto is. Look, Amen. You know what we were doing right before church? Mark and I, someone threw a dead German Shepherd in our garbage can. Okay, so everyone who's walking in, they're just like, psst. It's not a sweet-smelling saber, okay? We're busy, like, pushing that thing across. You say, why did they throw it? Because it's El Monte, it's ghetto. That's what they do. Sorry. I'm sorry that that's your first impression of Faith Ward Baptist Church of El Monte. A full-grown dead German Shepherd in front of the church. Decomposing. They threw it inside of a trash can and then they put it in the dumpster. Like, I was about to move it and I was like, whoa, there's a dog in here. You know? That's what people do. And it's, I'm sorry, but that's what happened. So look, if you're part of this, look, Compton's no different. I mean,
Amen. That's right.
You know? Right. Yesterday it was funny that, if you haven't seen the video, Brother Frank and Brother Angel, they're out soul winning. And I was with Brother Chris and you hear the ghetto bird. Does anybody know what a ghetto bird is?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a literal bird. Okay. It's a helicopter. It's the police is what it is. And they're flying around in our area. And you can tell they're looking for something because the helicopter is tilted and it's only going around in one area, you know. But they're actually in the area where the Angel and Frank were. And you see the video and Frank is like giving the gospel. And you see in the background, you see a sheriff pull up. He gets out, pulls out an M16, you know, has like headgear. And he's like walking around. And he looks at him, he goes, hey, you guys better get inside. He might be coming this way. You know, I was like, that's pretty crazy. Now, they're fine. And it makes for good storytelling. Okay. Now, the second point I want to give you is this, is that a lack of obedience often results in a lack of success. So a lack of obedience often results in a lack of success. If you have a lack of success in your Christian life, you know, whether as individuals or even as churches, it's due to a lack of obedience.
Yeah, right.
Because if God commands something, we can have faith that if we obey it, we'll receive the success that he promises to give us.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you fail at it, don't blame God. We just got to reevaluate what we're doing and see if we're doing it the right way.
Right.
Or sometimes it's a matter of just God just building our endurance, God building our determination. You know, if we fail, it doesn't mean that we ought to quit. It means we ought to get back up and try it again. It builds fortitude. It builds determination. You know, if you go out sowing and you don't see anybody saved, that's not the time to quit.
Amen.
This doesn't work. I'm going back to track dropping. You know, I'm going back to the bus ministry. No. God says preach the gospel. It's going to work.
Amen.
We've all had a dry season out there when we go out there for a week and like no one gets saved. But you know what? That's not all the time. We need to be consistent and can continue to go out there and realize that a lack of obedience often results in a lack of success. Joshua 1:6 says this, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." So it's interesting to note that in verse number 7, he's telling us to be strong and courageous, not to do the work, but to obey God.
Amen.
Sometimes it takes more courage and strength to just obey the Lord.
Yeah, right.
You know, it takes more strength and courage to just, I'm going to go out and preach the gospel and obey the Lord than to go somewhere that's really scary to go do it.
Right.
Okay. Look what it goes on to say in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make that way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God says you'll be successful if you obey me. You'll be successful. You know how many times I've heard throughout my Christian life, we're not going to Compton. It's just not a very receptive area, you know. And this is their favorite phrase. "Look, brother, you can reach down, but you can't reach up." How many of you ever heard something like that? That's the favorite phrase of the old IB. "You can reach down, but you can't reach up." In other words, we'll send the bus ministry to Compton Englewood and all these ghetto areas, you know. But we're not going to send our church out there. You know, we want to focus on reaching the people who have feria. That's Spanish for money, okay? Money. Why? Because you can reach down, but you can't reach up. You say, do people really? Yeah, people really say that. I've heard it all my Christian. You can reach down, but you can't reach up. Well, that's a lie.
Amen.
That's garbage.
Amen.
That's a garbage philosophy to have. That's you being a respecter of people.
Yep.
You're having the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons.
Yep.
And you need to memorize James chapter 2.
Amen.
Now, go to John chapter number 1. No, the Bible says just obey and just go do it.
Amen.
Okay? Don't think that you're smarter than God. Don't think that you know more than the Lord. Don't think that, you have more wisdom than Him. You know, He's like, well, you know, we need to be wise about this, and we can't just send out a whole entire church. What if something happens? Well, you know what? What if nothing happens?
Right.
Have you ever thought about that? What if you don't get shot? What if you don't get banged on? And you're successful? Isn't that worth the risk?
Right.
Yes, it's worth the risk.
Amen.
But they want to focus on, oh, you know, there's a lot of black people over there. By the way, Old IFB are racist, man.
Yep.
So racist. Right. It's just like, yeah, you know. I remember at Hiles Anderson College, okay, they would literally say, for the bus ministry, they said no more than 5 black kids on this bus.
Wow.
Yeah. That's wicked as hell.
Amen.
They're all welcome.
Right.
Everyone's welcome. Okay. Now, why is that mentality there? Well, simply for this. It's a chain. It's a basically, it's a result of bad just discernment on their part to say, well, you know, we can't preach hard, you know. Therefore, because we can't preach hard, or we have to preach these soft sermons or whatever to keep the people, we don't want to offend anybody. So if we bring all these ghetto kids from these ghetto neighborhoods, it's going to be offensive to those who have the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're not going to want to pour their investment in such a ghetto little church with all these ghetto kids and stuff like that. You know, forget you and your philosophy.
Amen.
You know, I want to see all of them saved. And even if they don't come to church, as long as they got saved,
yeah,
it's the most important.
Right.
You know, I talked to someone yesterday and they were like, well, how many of them are coming to church? I'm like, I don't know. You know, do you know where they're at? Yeah, they're in Compton. I can show you some of the houses of the people I led to the Lord.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
But you know what? It's better than nothing.
Amen.
In fact, it's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And look, maybe God was going to destroy Compton at one time, but I guarantee He's not going to do it anymore.
Amen.
Why? Because now there's a righteous remnant there.
Amen.
There's people who are saved there. And we're going to keep going back.
Yep, that's right.
Okay. But here's the mentality that a lot of people have in regards to like a city like Compton. Look at verse number 46. We'll start at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Isn't that what a lot of people say? Like, can there any good thing come out of Compton? I mean, when the wicked Jews of this world are looking for a wicked rapper, they go to Compton. So can there any good thing come out of Compton? Yes!
Amen!
And look, this is the way it starts. A good thing goes into Compton.
Amen.
Get people saved, and then now a good thing comes out of it.
Yep.
But they want to have this mentality. It's like, well, there's no good thing that can come out of Nazareth. Any good thing that can come out of Compton. Well, we just saw yesterday that there was.
Amen.
Okay. Go to Joshua chapter 17. But look at the result of fear. What happens when they have that type of mentality? Joshua 17 and verse number 12, it says here, yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. So we see that even in Numbers, God commanded to say, look, when you go into this land, make sure you drive them all out.
Yep. Right.
Don't leave anyone behind. And what do? They left them behind. Even to the point that they basically taxed them just to live in that land. That's not what God wanted.
Amen.
God didn't want you to just like get along with them and hire them and have them work for you and you can tax them and just do whatever you want in that regard. No, He said wipe them all out.
Yep.
But you know what God told them that was going to happen? They're going to be thorns in your sides and pricks in your eyes.
Yep.
This ultimately will be your downfall. And how do we apply that spiritually to churches today? Those churches that did not want to obey the Lord and just go into every city and preach the gospel, ultimately that's going to be their demise.
Yep.
Why? Because what gets someone more fired up than going to a city like Compton, seeing a bunch of people saved? You get excited about those things. Yeah. But you know what? When your church is not doing that, the people don't get fired up.
Yeah.
Then it becomes lukewarm. It begins to get cold. People begin to get carnal and fleshly and worldly. And what does the pastor do in order to keep people in the church? They got to put the hoochie mamas up here with the CCM music to try to keep them in. Which ultimately, what will happen? That will be their demise.
Amen.
You see, you think of a church like Lancaster Baptist Church.
Come on, preach it.
They started hard, man. Paul Chappell used to preach hard, from what I heard. Okay? He used to be a great soul winner. But you compare where he's at, where he was at 10 years ago, or even 20 years ago, to where he's at now, it's a vast difference. What happened? They didn't drive out all the inhabitants.
Yeah.
They didn't obey the Lord completely. Right. And what happened? They began to get more wise and, you know, they have the wisdom of this world and say, well, you know, if we bring in the CCM, the hell songs and all these things, you know, that's how we're going to keep the people. No, that's your demise, Paul Chappell.
Yeah, right.
Your church is going to get destroyed because of that. God's going to remove your candlestick.
Yeah. Amen.
From your church. And they have this attitude where if you can't beat them, join them. Tax them. You know? If we can't beat them, just let them live in the land and we'll tax them. They want to pattern themselves after the liberal churches of this world. That's not the way to go about it. The Bible tells us in Numbers 33, verse 51, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quit pluck down all their high places. Verse 55, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you what I thought to do unto them. I mean, that should scare the fire out of you. He says, look, not only are they going to be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, I'm going to do to you what I was thinking of doing to them.
Yep.
I'm going to bring that judgment on you, what I thought to do unto them. You know, that reminds me of 1 Corinthians 11, where it says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You know, what do you have today? Churches that just basically assimilated to the culture around them, to the liberal churches around them with their music and their low standards and their false doctrine.
Right.
And what are they doing? They're basically bringing condemnation upon themselves.
Yep.
And the Bible says that there's pricks in their eyes. What does that mean? They have no vision.
Yep.
You know, it's just another year. You know, they have their vision statement with the banner in the back. You know, the banner in the back that says, you know, someone give me, what's the phrase? Build together. What? Each one bring one. Each one bring 10. Each one reach 10. How about that one? You know, they have all these cute little phrases that they put on their banner to inspire them, but that doesn't inspire anybody.
Amen.
I guarantee none of you even paid attention to that one right there. Okay? But at least that's a Bible verse.
Amen.
Okay. But you know, they think they have vision. No, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Why? Because when you keep the law, you're obeying God, and you're going to have what? Good success,
amen.
The Bible says. But if you have no vision, you ain't going nowhere. There are pricks in your eyes. Your liberal standards and methodologies have placed pricks in your eyes, and you can't see afar off. You're forgotten that you're purged from your old sins. You're not growing. You're not abounding. We want to abound.
Amen.
We want to grow. You said, do you want to become a mega church? I honestly don't care if we do or not, but what I want to do is reach mega people.
Amen.
See mega people saved.
Amen.
That's a good, you know, goal.
Amen.
To have. He's like, yeah, but what if like you guys only grow to like 50 or 60? Then that's more glory to God.
Amen.
If we reach mega numbers of people. Because it's a small group reaching a lot of people.
Amen.
Okay? Now, turn with me, if you would, to go to Joshua chapter 23. We don't want that to be our demise. You know, we want to make sure we keep the main thing is soul winning. We want to make sure that we never have this attitude that when I get up here and I say, hey, we're going to Inglewood. I was like, oh. We literally had some, when I first announced it, okay, don't tell anybody. You know, we literally, I said we're going to Compton, and one person was like, what? His heart melted. He was like, why would we go there? It's like, why not? Why are you so fearful? It's not even that bad. Some people from Tempe said, I think El Monte's probably bad, worse than Compton. He's like, you guys don't even have parking over here. But that's not the kind of attitude we want to have.
Right.
Well, we say, hey, we're going to Inglewood. And it's just like, what? Haven't you heard Inglewood always up to no good? Haven't you heard that that's what the rappers talk about? Yeah, that's why we're going over there. Because there's lost people there. So as a church, we want to make sure that whatever city we go to, it's like, amen. Amen. Let's do it. When's the day? What's the time? Let's do it. Let's band together, strive together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.
Let's go do a great work. Don't be a little sissy coward and say, oh man, that's the ghetto. Yeah. Well, you know what? Your church is in the ghetto.
Amen.
I was trying to wean you on to that. I was trying to condition you to get used to it. But there's like gangs over there. So what? Makes it even, look, I like the fact that our church is in the ghetto because that means the possibility of no sodomites come and protest here. Because it's too ghetto. And I'm glad there's no parking here because then they can't park their faggoty cars. They're like, there's no parking here. We're going to have to go somewhere else. You got to always look at the silver lining of everything.
Amen.
Don't be a complainer. When we go to Inglewood, Compton, or these surrounding cities and say, oh, man, I can't believe we're doing that. You know what? Then go somewhere else. Go to Lancaster Baptist Church and go enjoy the little sign in the back that says, reach one, each one, or whatever. If that's the kind of Christianity you want. That's not the kind of Christianity God wants. You know, we ought to be bold as a lion. Okay? You say, oh, I'm just scared. Then pray for boldness. We all get scared from time to time. Okay, there's fear that grips our hearts from time to time, but at the end of the day, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind.
Amen.
Okay, look what the Bible says in Joshua 23 and verse 13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. It almost, you could kind of like read into this that God is basically saying, you know what? I was willing to drive them out, but because you're not willing to do it, I'm just going to let them overcome you.
Yep.
And it says, until you perish. Yep. You know, because sometimes you think, how are these mega churches allowed to just go on and on and on? You know, and we think, how can they, why does God allow their church to even exist? Well, they're not. They're dying.
Yep.
And God is basically allowing the snares and the traps and the scourges and the thorns there until they perish from off the land. And like, you could see it. You could, even in IFB churches, you can see it.
Yep.
You know, where it's just like, man, that church is dying. And I get reports from people who are still in old IFB churches who listen to us, and they'll say, this church is dying.
Yep.
It's dead. No one goes soul winning here. They have a name that they live it, but they're dead.
Yeah.
It looks like we're doing a lot, but we're not. Yeah. The pastor doesn't go soul winning. No one goes soul winning. Everyone does visitation. They just have this persona as if they're doing something, but they're not. You know what's happening? They have thorns, they have snares, traps, scourges, and they're perishing is what they're doing. So you know what? We're just going to let them perish.
Yeah.
And Lord willing, the people who are involved in these churches who are listening to us will just come over here.
Amen.
Right.
That's the goal. Amen. They should come over here and be a part of a thriving church, a church that's going soul winning, a church that has a name that lives and is living.
Amen.
Okay. Now, let's see here. Go with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. So lessons from Compton. Well, what are some lessons here? Hey, look, God, that's a lot for the taking right there.
Yep.
You know, if you guys, if churches don't want it, all right, we'll take it.
Amen.
We'll take it. Look, if Tempe was willing to drive out here,
yeah,
we got people from another state taking your portion, California, Southern California. They're like, if you guys don't want it, we'll take it.
Amen.
We'll take your portion. We'll take your lot. We'll take your success. We'll take that reward that belonged to you. If you don't want it, we'll drive out there and take it.
Amen.
And look, let me say this. The tacos helped,
Amen.
Brother Segura. Hey, it was a success. Brothers, they're testing us. And say, we'll see if it pans out. Brother Perry?
Yeah.
I'm a testifier for Brother Perry. He saw no one saved. Like one person saved. The first half. Okay? Then he confessed his sins. He got right with the Lord. And he ate like 10 tacos. And like revival broke out after that. Pastor Anderson knows what he's talking about. It's not just jokes. It's true. Try it out. He ate those tacos and it was just like, boom. They're like, what must I do to be saved? And he's just giving them the God. They're just getting saved. So for next year, so you know, brother, so it works, all right? Ready. Now, look at Isaiah 61. So here's another principle under that is, you know, we ought to desire to preach the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
Now, I understand there's not poor people necessarily in the United States, okay? It's like there's not people who you know, the guy who's standing out in the corner with the sign saying a buck, please, or something or whatever, that guy's not poor.
Amen.
He's just a lazy bum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? I'm talking about the people who are poor in spirit, you know, people who are humble. And I met a lot of people yesterday who were just humble.
Amen.
They're just humble people. They saw people who came to their door who were just, we weren't even interested in bringing them to church. I think that trips people out, by the way. Sometimes it's just like, you know, here's an invite to our church. It's like, well, I got my own church. Well, you know what? I don't even want you to come to my church. You're like, okay. It's like, more important is I wanted to make sure that you're going to heaven.
Amen.
And it's like, okay, well, this guy doesn't have like an ulterior motive. Because, yeah. You know, in their mind, they're thinking he wants me to come to church so I can tithe and pay his salary and pay for all that. That's what they're thinking. Because
yeah.
They got, what's his name, Noel Jones,
right,
in Los Angeles, who does that to everyone. Okay, he just wants everyone. They take like three offerings, and one of them is a $20 mandatory offering. No joke. That's not what we're about.
Yeah.
You know, and we give them the gospel, and they get saved. You know, these people were humble. Okay, look what Isaiah 61 verse 1 says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, obviously, this is a prophecy of the Lord, and he fulfilled that.
Amen.
But you know what? We can apply that to our personal lives as well. Because
yep.
When we get filled with the Spirit of God, that's what we can do to people.
Right.
Look, I got to tell you this story. So we're out there. It was Brother Chris and I. And here's the thing is, obviously, not everyone's open there. You know, there's people I'm sure they got rejected, and they're just like, no, I don't want it. I got this one guy, and he was just like, you ever run into a soul winner, a person you're trying to win, and they're just like, they're listening, but they're not listening.
Yeah, right.
They're just like, they're kind of going along to get along.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah. ¿Qué pasó? He's just like, he's like talking to five different people, you know. And it's just like, this guy's not paying attention.
Yeah, right.
I got that yesterday, and I was just like, well, hey, that's the invite. You know, if you ever have a question or want to come by, that's her address. I said, do you mind if I talk to her? He goes, yeah, go for it. So he went on about his business, and his wife came. She listened. She got saved. But as I was preaching the gospel to her, her niece was standing right there. She's about 10 years old. Her name is Helen. And I'm giving the gospel to her aunt. And then Helen just interrupts and says, wait, hold on a second. I was like, I never even heard like a 10-year-old talk like that. He goes, hold on. She goes, what if I don't want to go to hell, though? I don't want to go. And she was dead serious. She goes, I don't want to go to hell. So what do I have to do not to go to hell? I was like, that's a great question. And I'm going to explain it to you right now. So I'm explaining it to her. And then before I could even get to eternal security, we talked about, you know, trusting Christ and believing on the Lord. She goes like this. She goes, well, hold on a second. She's like a thinker, you know what I mean? And she's like, what if I trust Christ, though, and then I sin afterwards? Do I have to get, like, saved again? I mean, this is like low-hanging fruit right here. It's already on the ground. It's like, it's on a strand. You know, you just have to go. And I said, no, you don't have to get saved again. Let me show you. And I showed her the verses, and she had this very innocent, just very humble spirit about it. And I said, Helen, would you like to get saved? And she goes, yeah. And she got saved. Her and her aunt got saved.
Amen.
You know? And obviously that doesn't happen all the time, but man, that's awesome when it does.
Yeah, right.
It goes to show you that there's people out there who are meek. This is in Compton.
Yeah.
who are meek, who just want to hear the gospel. So what you need to do is this. Get some stones, churches. Get over your fears. And go meet the Hellens out there. The children who are probably going to be born and they'll die in Compton. They probably will know nothing other than Compton. You know, they'll just know the helicopters, the sheriffs with the guns, the Bloods and Crips, Tortilla Flats, and all these other gangs there. And that's all they will know. What a sad existence, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you who have the light, why don't you go out there and give them the gospel?
Amen.
She was willing to listen. She was willing to hear it, and she did. And then another story is a lady in Spanish. By the way, if you go to Compton, you gotta know some Spanish. How many ran into a lot of Spanish speakers out there? Okay.
Yep.
You know, this lady, she was willing to listen, but she was kind of one of those people who were just kind of like, uh-huh, you know, just kind of not. She was answering right until I would ask her, like, the next question, and then she would just completely go back to, like, well, you have to work for it and all that stuff. But then her son was in the background just kind of walking by and just, like, listening. Like, he was just kind of like, you know, he wanted to know what was going on. I said, hey, man, what's up? I said, can I talk to you real quick? Can I give you one of these? And he's like, yeah, sure, what's up? And I was like, from a church, and I said goodbye to the mom, and I was like, yeah, if you ever want to come by, just, you know, address right there. His name was Israel, and I gave him the gospel. Man, he understood it completely. You know people get it, that when you give the illustration of the gift, they, like, laugh. You know, I was like, here's a gift. Now, can you go wash my car? And he starts laughing. You know, he's just like, you can tell it, like, clicks in their mind, like, okay, he gets it. It's a joke to say that it's a gift and that you're charging someone after you give it to them. So he's getting it. He's like, enjoying it, and he gets saved.
Amen.
You know, and there's so many stories like that of people that we saw saved, but you know, they require a person who's spirit filled to go out there, not to be some rich, you know, with a nice church and all these things. They just require someone who loves them.
Amen.
And that's really what it comes down to, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's someone who has love in their heart, for it doesn't matter what color or what race they are.
Right.
To have enough love in their heart to go out there and say, I'll do the work. I want to see Helen saved. I want to see Israel saved. You know, I want to see Terry saved. I want to see these people trust Christ as their Savior. I want to go be a part of doing that great work for the Lord, to preach the gospel unto the poor. Now, go to James chapter 2, and we're almost done. The Bible says in James 2, verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? I met a lot of people who were rich in faith. They just believed it.
Amen. Right.
And heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. But ye have despised the poor. Man, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? You know who are oppressing the pastors today?
Yeah.
Is the rich people in their church.
Amen.
Look, if you want me to keep building your building, you know what I mean? You make sure you keep this place the way we want it kept. Now you're exaggerating. No, it happens.
Yeah.
We're like the rich people in the church. They dictate. They're the real pastors of the church. Okay? Through the pastor. Now go to Joshua chapter 17 and we're done. Last point is this. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean it's impossible.
Amen.
So that's what Manasseh needed to understand. And Joshua was trying to convey that to them. So look, just because it's hard doesn't mean it's impossible to do.
Amen.
Now, we can't say that Compton was difficult. In fact, I think it was easier. Than most places we've gone to. It's very easy. But this is a good principle all around that God is trying to teach. Manasseh here is like, look, though they have chariots of iron, just keep thinking about that phrase there. Verse 15 says, and Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valleys have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. Skip down to verse 18. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they be strong. Now, I don't know anything about this type of warfare. I do know this, is that I'm sure chariots of iron are hard to take down. I'm sure it's a lot harder than wooden chariots.
Right?
Wooden chariots, you just light it on fire or something. But you know what? It's not impossible
Amen. To
take it down. Especially if you have God on your side.
Amen.
It's not impossible. But a lot of people, they want to use that as an excuse to say, well, it's just too hard, therefore it's impossible. No, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Okay? Is anything too hard for God? His ears not, hands not short that it cannot save, the Bible says. His ears not heavy that he cannot hear. What does he need? He just needs people to go out and do it and believe
Amen.
That it can be done. So what's the sermon today? Compton's population is 97,000 as of like 2015 or something like that. Over 97,000. So what we did yesterday was a drop in the bucket, but it was a drop.
Amen.
And that's just the beginning of it, though.
Right up.
We're going to go back again and again and again until we see more people saved. Okay? So what's the message? The message is simply this. You know, we need to get out of this mentality. And I'm not saying we, because we don't have that mentality.
Amen.
But Christianity just in general needs to get out of this mentality that these forbidden cities, you know, these ghetto neighborhoods are unclean. You know, touch not the unclean thing. No, you know what you need to do is go ahead and go out there, ask God to fill you with his power and his spirit, take a Bible in hand, and go preach the gospel, and you'll see success. And you know what? Maybe God will spare your church
Amen. If
you decide to do that. Maybe God won't put out your candlestick if you decide to love the lost in Compton and in Inglewood. Maybe God will have big plans for you. You know, God is very merciful. You think of Hezekiah and all these kings who did wrong, and then once they repented, God gave them like years more to live. God can do that with these lame churches.
Amen.
If they just woke up and said, you know what? Forgive us, Lord, for not loving the lost and not loving the poor. We're going to Compton too. I'd say amen to that.
Yeah.
I'd say, all right, you go Friday, we go Saturday. You don't even have to claim us as friends or anything like that. If you just want to go out there and do the work, amen.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's just get the job done. But if not, we'll get it done. We'll make sure it gets done. Why? Because we want to make sure that we're loving the lost there. And it's not impossible to reach them. Amen?
Amen?
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you so much for all the soul winners that came out to preach the gospel, Lord. And all the souls that were saved, 142. And that's a conservative number. There's people in our groups that we didn't count. And so it potentially might be even more. But I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to continue to have a soft heart for the lost, for the poor, and not to judge these cities as if they're heathen nations that can't be touched, where we can't give the gospel to. May we not think of ourselves so highly that we wouldn't humble ourselves to go to areas like that. Were it not for the grace of God, we'd probably be in the same place. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to continue to have that love and to be humble and to depend on you, to be strong and very courageous to obey you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.